Podcasting 2.0 for Friday, February 5th, 2021, episode 23. We're moving to Millie's. And that's not some lady's house.
Millie Satoshi's?
I love this day, not just because it's Friday, but because it is the most fun day of the week where we have a meeting of the board of Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. I'm Adam Curry here in Austin, Texas. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the man who knows the longitude and latitude of every feed in the index, Dave Jones.
It's location time, baby.
Yeah.
I like Fauci's term. I was thinking about that on the way here. I was like, he always says, you got to get a boost, give you a boost.
Yes, I know, like, very well.
A boost. Perfect marketing for lightning.
That's right. You got to boost the podcast. If you're listening right now, give us a boost.
Yeah, boost.
Boost. Man, the boosts are what really make it happen,
Oh, yeah. We had the thing.
The thing.
We had the talk, the lightning LMP thing this past
week. Yes, I was going to start right off the bat. We had the dev Zoom call on Tuesday. Okay, hold on a second. I have not been able to shut up about this call. And Tina is now almost annoyed with me.
I'm not annoyed with you, please.
This was such a highlight for me for a number of reasons. I've run big teams. I've had hundreds of employees at the same time. I've run IT departments or had oversight over IT departments. Worked closely with people who ran them. Podcasting. When we were working on that, moving up on 2 decades ago. It was, a fantastic feel to see people working together. But we had none of the tools that we had. We didn't have GitHub. we didn't have blogs. I mean, blogs was barely a thing at the time. We just had kind of RSS that was functional. We didn't have Zoom calls. And to have, I think we had at one point maybe 18 different people on the Zoom call. I was humbled by it. I'm like, holy crap, look at all these people. And everyone had their cams on, which I really appreciated.
I'm not a camera guy.
Me neither.
But I liked that a lot.
Yeah. No, I decided I was going to have my cam on. And I think, and I had a background just because I was messing around with dumb software. Yeah. And then Martin popped in and he had his pod friend HQ background, which I thought was real at first. I'm like, wow, this guy, fucking guy's in Denmark,
really
man.
Good. It looked really good. Yeah.
Guys in Denmark got their shit together in this podcasting thing. Which, according to Pod News, is exploding in Denmark.
Yeah, 27%.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why that is. Why are they singled out as the growth location for podcasting in Denmark?
There were a number of things that I think probably. Well, first of all, they speak English so well. It's such a second language that that's easy for them. There's a very low barrier. And I think as those guys, what is it, DR, who had done the survey, they said, well, actually the coronavirus helped. I think people went exploring, they're tired of it. And they're tired of hearing the Fauci boost. They're looking for a new boost. I'm looking for a new boost, baby.
Podfriend's about to have boost.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to that. I'm so jacked about this. The ideas that everybody had. So, you do a free open source project and everyone's their own boss. They all show up if they want to. They all have their own ideas. And to first be able to see everybody and put faces to the names and also hearing a voice. I mean, Mitch. Mm-hmm. Mitch does, what does Mitch do? Podverse?
Yeah, that's right.
Holy crap. I'm like, I had a whole different picture of Mitch.
Yeah, I thought he, the net with the name Mitch, I thought he was like a Grateful Dead follower.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy.
I'm waiting for this burly dude to show up. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he's this clean cut, young looking guy.
I don't think he's just young looking, Dave Jones. I think he's got us beat by a couple decades.
Probably so.
Yeah. But there were also people who were just interested. DC Girl popped on. I thought that was nice to see.
Yeah.
And then you know, you get the ideas, and this is what really struck me. So first we see that Guilherme is, you know, he's just cranking ahead. Today I tested his LNPay integration on PodStation, and it works. I mean, it worked out of the box once I figured out what to put in where.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really quite simple. Now, I'm deep into this, so for me it's like, oh, I click here, create the wallet, put the coins in, here's my, I just had to find the wallet ID, the API key, boom, and then and immediately it was working. I'm looking at the logs as he instructs in his GitHub, so I could see the payments going. Mm-hmm. And I think it looks like he's aggregating every 10 seconds and then waits for there to be enough to send. So it turns out about every 2 minutes he's sending a payment. I'm not quite sure what the algorithm is for that, but it was interesting to see how it's counting up whatever number needs to be sent, which I think is smart.
I like that. I like that we talked about that on the call.
It's
Every app's going to have to figure out what works for their app, because no two apps are the same. You got PodStation, who's an extension, a Chrome extension.
Yeah.
And so mostly they're going to, you know,
like, and he has no server, right? I mean, you're talking. Yeah. That's, I'm amazed at how much he's getting accomplished without a back end service. It's really quite interesting.
For real. Yeah. And I guess that just speaks to the sort of power that these extensions can have. But then you got PodFriend, who's, you know, a PWA, and then you got HyperCatcher. And now Podverse, so they're both native apps. So everybody's got their own
podcast guru.
Oh, yes, right thing.
Yeah,
and everyone's got their own set of like hurdles and constraints.
Yeah,
and so they're all just figuring it out.
Yeah, and but just to see that complete freedom, that complete autonomy, and then also myself, although I've realized this several times along the way in the project, is like, oh, this is where in a corporate environment you would tend to stifle everybody and no, you're not doing it right. We're working on this part. Integrate this. Ah! I was never like that, but I can feel, you know, because in a way, this may sound really fucking weird, but if someone says, what do you do on this project? I say, I'm like the JV team conductor who comes in. I've got this orchestra and one brought a theremin and one guy bought a banjo and everyone brought these cool instruments, you know, the zither guy. And there's always a drummer.
Harp.
There's always a drummer who just keeps beating it, just keeps moving forward.
And the bass guy's always stoned.
Exactly. And then, so, you know, essentially I'm trying to write a little bit of music, conduct it. And then I'm listening to what they're doing. And sometimes just walk away, have a sandwich and just see what they come up with. And it's really impressive. When Spencer, who, yeah, he's a pretty young guy and he's getting his, I guess, so he's doing some big test for his degree and I don't know.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if it was a boot camp or a university thing or whatever.
Not sure.
It's like right at the end of it, I think.
Exactly. And so he's, you know, he calls himself, I'm a junior dev. And he had just done his final project, I guess, to be evaluated for, you know, go, no go on his whatever he's doing there. All impressive to me. And he's like, I want to do something with recipes because they suck. I'm like, holy shit.
That was a cool idea.
Yeah. So I'm like, finally, someone's saying, oh, I can use this whole podcast infrastructure to do something a little different. So his idea was to have people can contribute to the recipe, including video, but there could be, you know, someone contributes the ingredients or the actual recipe itself or the write-up. I don't know. And he was seeing the splits in payments working for that with the video payments splits going to all the people who worked on the project. And he just saw an app that just does recipes. I'm like,
Yeah.
Because
the thing about that, he zeroed in on, to me, it relates to podcasts like this. He zeroed in on this product, which is recipes on the internet. And there's tons of recipe
and it's
sites.
Broken.
It's complete garbage.
It was funny because he said that and everyone's like, oh my God. And then this happens and the fucking pop-ups and the ads and the, oh, it's great.
Yeah. Subscribe to our newsletter. It's just all, it's so bad. That's what podcasting will look like if there's not a different funding method that develops and it all has to be ads. That's
voila.
What's going to happen.
Voila. There you go. That's exactly why I left Podshow/Mevio, is because I did not intend to spend my life making content that's the equivalent of a NASCAR with all the sponsor stickers on the windshield. It's like, no, I can't do this. It's not going to work. And you want me to put a VW engine in it? No, no.
That's funny. Now, I was on John Chigi's podcast.
Oh, that's right. All right. This is he's a Mac developer guy. Is that it?
No, he's an electrical engineer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, right, 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 right.
And he does the Causality podcast. He does two. I think his network is called the Engineered Network. It's a podcast network. And so he does. I know his two podcasts are Causality and Pragmatic. And Pragmatic was the one I was on. Uh-huh. And I'm hooked on Causality, by the way. That is a killer podcast. But I was on Pragmatic, where he just interviews people about tech stuff. And so, and we had, gosh, we talked for 2 hours, if not more, about podcasting 2.0 and Lightning and Bitcoin and changing the dynamic. I mean, he's all in. He's Raspberry Pi, Raspy Blitz.
Nice.
He's all in on this thing. And I called him a Bitcoin maximalist. You know, he's all in it.
And dare I ask when this pod drops?
No. He said this weekend.
Okay. I'm putting a link in the show notes right now to the index show page so people can find that. Cool, man.
But it reminded me of, just how out of, you don't, like, you start building something and you hope that people will sort of get involved and take notice. And then when it actually happens, it's like, oh, wait. Oh, okay. It's kind of surprising when people actually do, because you don't, I guess it's just human nature. You don't expect people to have to share your ideas or share your vision.
But what's so beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, he was 100% in the vision. Like we got to change, advertising. There's going to come a day where it hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to have an advertiser who tries to censor me. Mm-hmm. And, we've got to get this alternative funding method. What happens if Patreon, rips the cord out, sure. rips the rug out from under everybody?
Well, now Patreon, because I was following this. So Joe Budden, who has a, now Joe Budden, he's super famous, right? Was he a hip hop guy? And
I got no idea who Joe Budden is.
Yeah.
Any music artist after 1998, I just don't even know. Like, that's where my musical history was frozen in time. It's like frozen in carbonite from 1998 on.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you on that. Well, here's what's interesting, and it also kind of pertains to what's going on with us. So Joe Budden announces multifaceted deal with Patreon. And let's see, months after parting ways with Spotify. So he had a Spotify, I don't know if it was exclusive, but he had a deal. Joe Budden has found a home with Patreon. The media figure, so he's a media figure, shared the news during the episode of his eponymous podcast. But now what I read is that I think he's becoming the head of creator equity at Patreon.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is supposed to mean. I have an idea. It sounds like a virtue signal, probably, if anything, it's an answer to things like the podcast, Academy appointing Delray Kessen
differently. Mm-hmm. The podcast, I took it differently because the podcast equity, like in the context of what he was saying, it was like equity, meaning, the relationship between the podcast platform and the podcast creator.
Oh, please, Dave Jones.
No, I think that's
you
true.
You naive woman.
I think it's legit. No, I think that's what it is.
I don't think so. Okay, I'm happy to be proved wrong.
No, I think strongly that's what it is. I think it's because his thing, he's been railing against Spotify. Because he was one of Spotify's first exclusive, like one of the first people they picked up. And then I think he cut him loose and did not renew his contract on the last deal round.
Okay. All right. Well, then I could be wrong.
And he said they were trying. And what he said at the time when he dropped off Spotify was that they were trying, that they were screwing their artists.
Yeah.
They were screwing the creators. And they were taking too much money.
Yeah. What I'm reading here, Budden said he and his team were treated unfairly throughout his 2-year contract with Spotify, claiming the company wouldn't allow them to take vacations for the holidays and tried to give them Rolexes rather than bonuses.
Yeah.
Woo, yeah. Baby. That is the record company mentality right there. Hey, son, I'm going to give you a Cadillac. I'm going to give you a Cadillac, yeah. Son. Just play this over here and give you a Cadillac.
Yeah, wow. And when you get it, you have to pay, and you have to pay the taxes when you get it.
No, by the way, it's a loan.
Yeah.
Okay. That,
so I think, see, because he actually accused them. He accused Spotify of stealing his audience.
Okay, I am wrong, and I apologize. Thanks for setting me straight.
Oh, so, but I am interested on the race angle of that though, because I've been listening to a lot of. I've been listening to a lot of Malcolm X's speeches. Mm-hmm. I've got this audio book that's basically just a collection of all of his speeches that could ever be found on audio, just all run together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about halfway through it. I've been listening to it for a few months, and it is so enlightening and eye-opening. Like, it sort of blows my mind. And part of what I've been thinking about is I've been trying to figure out, there seems to be, and I think there was an article yesterday that I saved on the Freedom Controller I hadn't read yet, but it was about how Bitcoin is getting this groundswell within the black community.
Isaiah Jackson, Bitcoin and Black America is
yes,
a great
that
book.
It. Yeah. And so, like, I wondered, you know, because you got Hotep Jesus out there, and I wondered, like, what does Mo say about all that? I mean, is he a Bitcoin guy?
We have been talking about this very intensely for the past months, I'd say. And we have decided to put income from MoFax with Adam Curry, just keep it all in Bitcoin. If we get fiat, we'll put it into Bitcoin. It's kind of our own personal stand. What he says is that... Black America is very much into Bitcoin. There is a huge hesitancy, though, and this stems from him, I would say, personally, but I think he's right. He says, whenever I hear shit in the barbershop about this, he says, I know black people about to get screwed. So when Bitcoin was at 40,000 a couple weeks back, Mo was at the barbershop, and his barber's like, hey, man, you hear about this Bitcoin? Should I get some? And Mo said, the minute I hear that, I said, and it was at 40,000. He said, I know that was bad news. He says that happened to us in 2008 with flipping homes.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of apprehension, but that's just surface stuff, because he hasn't had the opportunity to look into it or been pointed in the right direction. So he definitely sees it. Certainly the value for value pledge model, streaming Satoshis, he totally gets that, which we still don't really have a great name for. I haven't found it myself yet. Feels awkward to say value for value payments or pledge. I'm still looking.
Yeah,
still
and lightning payment sounds like it's too tied to one specific thing because you want it to be able to be flexible.
Yeah. So what I was going to say when it comes to the equity part, because there is a lot of virtue signaling, but in a way, this it pertains to this as well. When I also saw, let's see, we had our feed archivist. What's his name? Who does the OPML?
Oh, you're talking about Chris?
Yeah. So Chris was in there. Yeah. I mean, this is amazing shit people are doing. And I never would have thought, hey, let's find a guy to work on our project who goes out and finds feeds. Ferrets around in the darkest corners of the world to try and find feeds. And it's fantastic what he's done. I'm so happy and so appreciative. And then, who was the other guy? I'm bad at names. And he had an interesting.
Talking about Andy? Talking about Andy Lehman?
Yeah, I think it was Andy was talking about.
Does the WordPress plugin?
Was that Andy? Shit, man. Yeah, maybe it was. I don't know. Hmm. But that's my point. It's like, here's what I recognized. If you want equity in your life, demand free open source software. When it's free and open source, everybody has a seat at the table. with mm-hmm. with whatever idea they have. I can't, nor would I want to, but I can't stop anybody. I can't, there's, you know, it's just like, it's, that is total equity. Imagine if Microsoft Word was free open source software, how good it would be.
Yeah.
And how you could change it for the equity that you need for your particular needs.
That's, we talked about that on Pragmatic. Is it was, you know, one of the things that that I always say is, you know, people are the most free, are the most equal when they're the most free. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to money, that there is nowhere is that more so than financially.
Because, of course.
I mean, like, it, you know, with a, we talked about that, you know, with Lightning, you're essentially your own bank, and, you know, you can, you have, let me, let's see, let me read you this. This is from Malcolm X's speech. It says, I point these things out, especially for you and me, those of us who are trying to come from behind. If we aren't aware, we'll find that all these modern methods of trickery will be used, and we will be maneuvered into thinking that we're getting freedom or thinking we are making progress when actually we'll be going backwards.
Yeah.
And I think that perfectly sums up, like, if you take that and apply that to the financial aspect of, I'll just leave out the rest of the world, but just the US for a minute. I mean, with all the monetization of debt and all the, you know, all the things that have gone on, all the, you know, endless quantitative easing, all of these things that have gone on, and it has produced things that look like progress. You know, the stock market at 30,000 and all these kinds of things that look like progress, and our 401ks are growing and all these kinds of things. But if you step back and think, it's like, but wait, maybe that's just trickery. Maybe it's not actually progress. Maybe it's looks like progress, but we're actually going backwards. And, you know, when you bring Bitcoin into it and these cryptocurrencies, things that are inherently deflationary, you start to really see, you get real suspicious really fast.
And I think what we're seeing is, and this is what Wall Street Bets is partially about. Okay, it's rigged. There's your proof. Now we're going to ignore you or go against you, whatever it is. They figured it out. They figured that this is a new generation. It's the millennials. This is the ones who are, you know, 25 to 30, 35, I'll even give you that. And they have figured out the game. I think Wall Street Bets also helped them figure out centralization. Patreon showed that to a degree, although mm-hmm. had all kinds of other issues, I think. And I mean, I have all my nephews now emailing me, apping me, like, hey, you know, okay, I've what should I do? Do I buy Ethereum? Like, no, hold on a second. So they're all getting into it. I'm like, now, I can't advise you. I'm going to tell you what I do. Every time I get some money in, I take 10 or 20% of that, whatever I can miss, and I put that into Bitcoin. And I just, you know, and I just let it go. And I take, you know, I keep an eye on it. If should there be an incredible dip for some reason, I'll watch, and as it starts to go up, I'll probably buy a little bit, you know, take advantage of that. But I know that ultimately, long-term, this is your time value preference, long-term, mm-hmm. it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's the huddle mentality.
Yeah. I love people who are bringing back the arguments that we heard 5 years ago, the arguments that I participated in on the argumentative side 10 years ago. You're like, well, now it's like it's too much energy and you're going to use up the world's electricity.
Oh yeah.
And to me, I'm like, yeah, I think that's kind of the point. Wouldn't it be at some point just advantageous for a miner to get a license and build their own nuclear facility?
Offer
shares in you know, some kind of collaborative where you put up your equity in Bitcoin, lock it up to let them build something. I can see all that happening.
But you know, you compare the energy expenditure of something like Bitcoin with the energy expenditure it takes to run the entire financial banking system.
Oh yeah.
Globally. I mean, and
it's not even close.
Yeah. Or mining for precious metals.
Yeah.
None of these things are energy neutral by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, but I like the idea that technically, you know, in my mind, if you purchase a piece of Bitcoin, I have purchased the energy that went into making that, into mining that. And then I can take that to a whole different country and I can spend it and buy the energy back over there. You know, it's like, it's like transportable energy.
Well,
I mean, money has energy. It has velocity. You know, it has movement. And I think what we're doing with the Lightning Network now is we're driving it. We're ratcheting it up.
Well, that's the other thing that people like, you know, I sort of have been in this mindset for a long time because I lean towards Austrian economics and that whole idea in history, which we don't even understand now, is the idea of purchasing money. By money is a good just like anything else.
Right.
And like that whole idea is like to the modern idea of where all we've known is fiat print, you know, not backed by anything printable money.
Mm-hmm.
That those concepts that Bitcoin sort of embodies, they're just not in the current mind. They're not in the modern mind at all.
Yes and no. I think we're very close with Venmo has taught people a lot. Cash App has taught people a lot. I think there's a generation that has been interested to purchase Bitcoin, not quite knowing, you know, if it would be useful for anything else. Lightning is certainly where usefulness comes in. You know, there's a lot of FUD out there. People don't understand fees, and quite honestly, it's completely confusing for anybody. And the fact that you have to send invoices back and forth, so that's kind of solved with or getting solved with Keysend. Now you can replicate what people are used to with Venmo. But man, I don't discount this generation. They're figuring it out real quick. Sure, we're at 99% complete. People are completely oblivious to Bitcoin itself. Forget other cryptos. They've just heard some stuff. But I mean, the right, and with Visa now saying, yeah, we should have, our customers should be able to buy crypto.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think it's great.
What was your first thought when you saw that headline?
I thought they are competing against their own clients. You know, they do transactions and processing for many apps, including Plaid Networks, which is the middleware from Venmo, and they're clearly expanding. They introduced, I'm not sure if they're financially involved, but they help with Strike. You know, I think there may be some venture capital even, or some capital in Strike's operation from Visa, because they want to compete. You know, they want to be the guys that that process everything, whether you're coming in with Bitcoin or any other crypto that they feel is appropriate, or dollars or euros. They want to do it all. And, you know, I know what we're going to wind up with. I mean, it's pretty clear. If you buy more than I think it's if you, no, you, you'll be, there'll be a limit on how much you can buy. I think it'll be $10,000. No, it's if you send more than $10,000 from your exchange wallet to an off exchange address, that will be registered just as if I send more than $10,000 in a wire transfer. Internationally, right, or whatever. That's, you know, it's an SAR will be written up. You have to, if you come into the country technically with more than $10,000 in cash or assets, you have to declare that. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a limit on selling crypto per day into fiat. I'm sure that's coming. So the obvious answer is the more we can do in the crypto realm is where they can't touch you.
It just sell stays in crypto.
Yeah. So, you know, already I buy my Voltage node in crypto. I mean, I'm just getting used to it. Anybody that shows up, I mean, everything, every vendor, you know, like pest control, or I say, you take Bitcoin? No? All right.
Do you really ask that?
Always now. I'm always asking. Yep.
You ask the termite guy whether it takes crypto. Yep.
Dude, the termite guy started with me. He said, okay, don't you remember this was over Thanksgiving? He's like, hey, you know, my brother was over, and this guy, he's a little older than me, so he's in his early 60s, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's my age, and he's just been outdoors in Texas longer than me. And he's like, you know, I saw your stuff up there. You got your Bitcoin chart. What do you think of Bitcoins? I kind of believe in what's going on here. So, yeah, my brother showed us how to buy it, and did you get some? Yeah, we all bought some. And he had the right idea about it. It was very interesting.
There must be something in the DNA of those of pest control guys, because my pest control guy at the office, he's asking me about XRP and Ripple and Monero, and he's got like five different crypto accounts. So it's like, I mean, yeah. I don't know what's up with those guys. Well, I mean, not to turn this into the Bitcoin show.
No.
So, like, you know, yes. I would say this though, I did listen to Jack Mahler's on, and I think this is a fairly old episode, maybe from last year sometime. He was on a podcast, the podcast from Bitcoin Magazine called What Bitcoin Did.
Yes, I've been on that. Yeah.
Okay. And he did a two-part episode on Lightning. And the first part they start talking about Lightning, but in order to get into it, they go over the problems with the block give an overview of why Lightning needed to exist. And in the process of explaining that, they also explain all the problems and why the blockchain block size was not increased like a lot of people wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. They go over a lot of historical stuff about the political tech around Bitcoin proper. And it is fascinating. I highly recommend that to anybody who is like wanting to get into, you know, any of the developers that are dabbling with this stuff and don't feel very strong on their knowledge of Bitcoin. That was a fantastic two-part primer on Lightning and the reasons behind it. It was great.
So I'm thinking if I go to podcastindex.org. Oh, wait, can I search by person on our homepage?
Yeah, but yep. You're not going to find that episode though, because it's so old. It's already rolled off their feed.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, they evidently put out an episode every 20 minutes, so there's like 5 million episodes.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So anyway, to bring it back, the diversity of thought, the diversity of background, the diversity of country, origin, race, creed, color, pretty much everything was represented. It was exhilarating to me, and I cannot wait to see what kind of UI or UX choices people will make. I'm really, really jacked about this. And then to have, you know, a complete front to back working thing in what we did this on Tuesday, and I could have tested it yesterday.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. You're right. Tuesday. Yeah. And it's like, it was instantaneous. It's like everybody's like, okay, we got it.
Hey, why? And by the way, Dave, if I may.
Yes.
Great job on the slides and the showing the flow, and you did some work. And you also did you do an endpoint, this the value / feed endpoint, something like that?
Yeah, we put that together for Guillermo. What does it do? Well, it just does one thing. It just gives you the value block back for a URL. We just did that because he's reading the feed RSS directly the same way that like Podfriend does, where they use us for search, but then once somebody chooses the feed, they just grab the feed and parse it right there.
Oh, themselves. I didn't realize. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, but they're not going to have the value block. So
no,
really,
I understand.
They just need that. So instead of
doing a full call for everything, they just say give me the. But I guess So Podfriend also pulls in my chapter tags and everything from the RSS feed.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Is there a benefit to doing that over getting the information from the index, besides it being guaranteed the right data?
Yeah, well, you know, it's instantaneous. You see, as soon as the feed updates, you see that you don't have to wait for the aggregator to pick it up.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's helpful in situations where, like we're in today, where just not everybody supports WebSub, and you still got to go crawl and all that jazz. You know, it's just like instant feedback.
This WebSub is another thing that that needs to be built out.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool what all that can do. Now, do the WebSubs, are they able to talk to each other, to update each other?
No, it's a one-to-one subscriber. It's just like RSS Cloud. Used to be.
Okay.
It's a registration, and I want on my to-do list is Dan Benjamin and Tom Rossi over at Buzzsprout, they want to help build this out. So the plan is that we will build a WebSub implementation And then it'll be something that the index and the hosters can run, and it'll be something they're familiar with. It should be like, you know, spin up a VM, run this thing, and everybody can have their own web sub. So we're going to, that's on the to-do list.
Now, when you say everyone has their own web sub, I mean, so how does that all coordinate, and how does a ping propagate so everyone knows what's going on?
It's a subscriber thing, you know, so you have, as anybody can say, I want to be notified when the feed changes, mm-hmm. and this is the feed I'm interested in. And so for like Fireside, if Fireside's running their own web sub, then they don't have to depend on Google or Superfeeder or all these other people. They can just run that right there in their hosting environment.
Right. But then who, but then
and all their feeds would then get that web sub as the hub.
Right. But how does an app know what web sub to talk to get the updates, or am I misunderstanding what's going on?
The apps and us, we're a subscriber to that hub. So every time we read a feed, we look in the feed for the hub specification, and then we call out to that hub and say, I want to be notified.
I didn't realize that there was a hub specification in the RSS feed.
Yes, it exists in the XML, and what? It says, here's the hub.
Why wasn't I notified of this?
the world didn't give you a heads up.
No, this is in my feed too?
It is not in your feed, because you do not have a hub.
Oh.
You don't have a hub, and you could use the Podcast Index Hub when we get this thing built.
Oh, okay. So that's basically what I'm doing when that script you gave me to ping the index and my...
You're pretending to be a hub at that point.
Okay. Maybe if I look more like a hub, it'll update faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I sit really still and look like a hub. Okay.
Yeah. It's what hubs do. Yeah. But that's on the radar screen. I've got... I can actually get, now that we've got the namespace phase two shipped, I can actually get to some of these back of the page to-do list items.
Well, I had a question about podcasterwallet.com.
Yeah, the redheaded stepchild of everything I've ever done.
Yeah, but I feel it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming because the more we talk about these splits, the more people want them. And I think if you look at what Sphinx chat, if you just start up a tribe and throw in your RSS feed, you can get Satoshis from anybody who was listening on Sphinx chat. But if you don't have a value block either in your feed or in the index, then you won't be able to do splits. So I know what's coming is people are going to want to have splits because, you know, it's easy. People go in and like, oh, I'll just throw in this feed here. I'm done. So eventually they're going to want splits. So I'm just thinking ahead saying we've got to make that friendly and understandable for people.
That's actually the top thing. I've got my to-do list right here.
And I think we need UI help, Dave.
Yeah, I want to get the I don't know how to do that. I don't want to be beggy, you know.
Beggy? Look at, bro, let me tell you something. The value you have brought to this project, people would come to your house and wash your car. I will. Your truck, the people will do your shopping for you. It's not beggy.
You could wash my truck and you still wouldn't be able to tell any difference. No,
When you're ready.
Drunk Plato already, he did so much work on the web, on the main website. And it's I think I'm just going to take that and take the style sheets and everything off that and just apply that look and feel to the Podcaster Wallet for the time being. And then once I can get the functionality there where it's really close. It actually looks and feels a lot worse than it is on the back end. Mm-hmm. Like on the back end, all the pieces are mostly there. There's just a little bit of plumbing that is not right. And so it actually, when you use it, you're like, this thing's a piece of shit, you know, mm-hmm. but it's a lot closer than it really looks. And so it's not going to be like it's going to take a month to fix this thing. I think it really will take maybe 10 or 15 hours of work to get everything polished up because just some of the API calls aren't returning exactly right. Like I now know that they should. And there were some decisions made at the beginning that I just need to go back and refactor. So
sure.
It's not too bad. It's actually not as bad as it looks, which is the opposite of usually it's much worse than it appears. No, this is the other way.
The way I look at it is, you know, I want to go to Podcaster Wallet as a podcast who's heard about this shit. Like, hey, well, look at this. And then I want it to be like, hey, start having your audience stream Satoshis to you today, right away.
Yeah.
You know, here's what you do. Clickety, clickety, clack, boom. Yeah. Now, it's never going to be like that. But I think we can use language that is exciting and helpful at the same time and give people all the options, because now we kind of have two paths. The, wow, shit, I just want to get started and I don't know much about Bitcoin or Lightning, maybe, get me going. That's the LNP route. And then, okay, I'm a pro and I want to, you know, have a node that I have more control over. You know, then we grab Voltage's API and help them create a node right from the page. You know what I mean? I can just see all this stuff, all this stuff. I mean, maybe, here's a thought for you. Would it be crazy to have Podcaster Wallet? No, shoot. Scratch it. I need to stop daydreaming.
Never mind. You outthought yourself.
I did. And it hurt. In fact, I got it twisted back again.
You know, play the clip. I mean, it's maybe clip two. It's Bill Clinton's advice. I think it's clip two.
I think it is.
You have to both stay within those parameters and make things up a little as you go along.
Yeah, the crux of our show right there.
Yep, that's pretty much this whole project. I do not understand that podcast, by the way. He's got a podcast called Why Am I Telling You This? But it's also the exact same name as a Clinton Foundation podcast called Why Am I Telling You This? That has existed for like 2 years. So I'm not really sure.
And even when you listen to it, you still don't understand why he's telling you that, I would guess.
That's right. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So the other thing that that became very apparent to me, just to, you know, wrap this up on the pledge payments, as you know, I was configuring PodStation, and it's man, it's so pretty, it's so easy to do, and it says here because he's thought ahead. Value in millisats per hour, and he has a default there of he has 3 million. That's a little high.
Well, that's
no, the, that's th- it's 300. Yeah, no, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's 3,000 per 3,000 sats per hour, but he does it in millisats.
And, well, you know, millisats is what the value block is already in.
I know, and it's so smart because I was thinking today. I mean, if you do 100 Satoshis a minute, which is what I have my stuff set at typically, that's what I had it set at Sphinx, you know, it turns out to be several bucks an hour. I mean, it's going fast. So I'm glad we went to millisats, and I'm glad that Guilherme is kind of paving the way with the calculation and tallying up before he sends a payment, because we're going to need it. I mean, the way Bitcoin's going, millisatoshis is going to be necessary.
So that's why he's sort of queuing up the queue, you know, like doing the adding it up as he goes along, and then once he hits enough for a sort of a sane amount of sats, then he just sends that bundle.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Works well. Works really well.
Well, you know, I talked to Tim at LNP on our cinema message on Signal, and he said that he's going to work on getting a new API call for KeySend where you can just give all three splits,
right,
or all the splits at once, and just say, okay, I want this, and I want it split up this way. And then you can batch them. Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. There's also a Telegram group for LNP.
How do you get into said Telegram group?
So you get the Telegram app. I despise Telegram. I really don't like it. Mainly because the groups that I've looked at before, you know, you look at it again. Oh, there's 1,500 new messages. What? That's not helpful. You know,
well, it's kind of like that on podcastindex.social right now.
In a way, it's not, Telegram is worse. But if there's not a lot of messages, then the signal to noise is much better. So the Telegram, you just search, you install the app, you hit search, you do LNP. And there's two groups. And then you just click and then you just join. And then Bob's your uncle.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
so I need to get in there.
So I'm super stoked to see how people will handle the wallet creation, what kind of user experience they have in mind, what kind of stuff they're going to display periodically. So with PodStation, it was just playing, and then on one hand, I'd look over to the right on the log, which I personally like that. I don't know if anyone else will, but I like seeing when the payments go out. And then I'd tab over to my wallet so I could see the number go down. The whole process is exciting. I played our show and I was watching on my Zeus wallet on my phone, like, boom, boom, there's 20, 20, 20. Ah, nice.
Oh, that's why I was getting paid this morning.
Yeah, I was paying us.
Okay.
Because I was doing it from the LM Pay wallet, so that works perfectly.
I was like, somebody's listening on the morning. We're about to drop another episode.
I know.
We don't want to overlook the fact that we shipped phase two of the podcast, of the namespace, right?
Oh, baby. Overlook? No.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Never overlooked. Never undercooked. It's the namespace. And it's hot, baby. Hot, hot, hot. No, I am glad you stopped and brought us into this place, because right around the same time that we get the LN Pay stuff cranking up, all of a sudden, bada bing, bada boom, we've got Buzzsprout releasing feeds that have location tags, and it works in several of our apps out of the box.
Yeah,
mind blowing. Like, holy shit. I had to go back and do two more announcements today. Podcast Addict has it coming, or that's they just released it. I mean, this is really
in beta,
cool.
They got it loaded yet?
I think they loaded it up. I don't know if it's still in. I thought it was out of beta. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I just retweeted one of their tweets.
Okay.
And this is cool. What I liked about this, and this is again for you, Mr. Dave Jones, without really a coordinated effort, as in, you know, we sent each other calendar invites. Mm-hmm. This beauty just happened, you know. So this is the two sides of the equation finally coming together, and they come at the same time, with Buzzsprout having the feed, helping with the authoring tools to get that into a feed, and then we have these apps just sitting there waiting, going, oh, boom, I know how to do that, and displays it right in the app. Bone-chillingly cool.
I think that this validates the sort of phased approach that we're taking, where we hash things out, and then everybody knows the target date. And as things start to get closer and closer to the date, everybody can say, okay, this, now we can start playing with this. We can put it in beta. We can start to experiment. And then the day it drops, if something changed, it's like, okay, quick tweak, and we're done. You know, we're ready to ship.
That was really cool.
I think I'm more excited about this one than I was about phase one. I mean, phase one was great, but I mean, really, the chapters and the transcript and all that. But these tags here, person, location, and season, those are some killer things, man. Like the idea that we can finally take the guests and hosts and producers and executive producers and writers and graphic designers and all these things, all these people that contribute to podcasts on a daily basis, the fact that we can now take those people and stick them into structured bits of data within the feed is so cool, man. I mean, like, it's great. I don't know. I'm just kind of geeking out about it. But
I totally understand. You know, it would be even cooler if I could make my feeds have them included. That would be
a lot. I wonder if you know anybody that could do that.
I have a different idea.
Okay.
I'm going to call out to Castapod.
Okay.
And I'd like Castapod to set up an instance for me of Castapod. I don't care what it's on. I'll switch the billing to me. I want to create, because they seem to be, Castapod seems to be always up to date on the feed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't expect you to be hammering that into the freedom controller. That's just, it's not efficient. Every single time we create something or whatever, you're going to, no, it's, that makes no sense. And since that's his main goal in life, now it's either that or maybe I should use WordPress. Maybe I should use the plugin. What do you think?
That's possible too. What I think is that we should just throw, I mean, you just threw that out there and we'll see what people come back with for suggestions.
Yeah. I tried to set up. It just went, I couldn't get it done.
I tried to set it up too, and I gave up. I like your idea. I like either Ben sets it up for us or, I was just missing some, there's some PHP redirect stuff. And I think somebody else on the podcast index had that same issue trying to set up Castapod, that there was something with the way that it does redirects in the URL that was just not, I could not get it working and I didn't have enough time to commit to it.
Exactly. So that'll all work out because what's happening now is I have so much to do manually. And although I really like it, because people don't know, the Freedom Controller has an awesome RSS editor because it's an outline and everything's completely configurable with, you know, just right there on the page. But there's so much I have to do, and every feed has its nuance of the, because I do produce four, I guess, the nuance of the feed ID, the GUID, and then it how that has to be mapped to Hypercatcher Studio, because it automatically creates its JSON URL from the GUID or from the linked, I mean, a whole bunch of things. And inevitably, I wind up like forgetting to change the pub date, which then makes episode 22 show up under episode 21. If anyone was wondering how that happened. So that,
it's too much. It's the curse of manual nature.
Especially after, you know, you do the show and I produce these with no agenda. It's like 3.5 hours or whatever. And then I'm, you know, you get sloppy. It's just what happens.
Well, you know, Martin's RSS feed RSS builder, I think is what he called it, feed builder. That is a really nice,
it's the right
user
idea
interface.
Yeah.
But it's got a couple of critical bugs in it. But he's a busy guy. He's already doing other things.
I do not want Martin to work on that. No. I mean, we have, cause you know, it's the same thing. We get a new tag or something, you know, another phase close that has to be updated. Castapod and the WordPress, is it PodPress? Is that it? What is the,
no,
it's not that it's called Play It.
No, I don't know what Andy's calling it. I'm not sure what the name is or if he even has one. I saw his GitHub the other day and I thought it was just like a WordPress podcast plugin or something like that. But I mean, anything like that, if anybody wants to take that ball and run with it so that we can have a quick way to generate a valid feed with all these new tags in it.
Yeah. At least on podcasting 2.0. Hello.
Well, I mean, the RSS builder that Martin built, it's just got a couple of bugs in it. I mean, somebody really could fork that project.
Someone could grab that and just make it work, yeah.
Yeah, and just fix a couple of things, and I think it's fine. I mean, like, if somebody wants to do that, that'd be great, too.
Well, but I personally think if I can help improve the other projects, such as Castapod.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
You know, then I'm really helping, or the WordPress podcast plugin. Either way, then it'll contribute, so it's probably better.
I update the new podcastapps.com, the podcastindex.org/apps.
Mm-hmm.
I incorporated the changes into that. God, I feel terrible. Who did that? Who made those changes to make the mobile appearance better?
Oh, yeah, I just saw the PR for it.
Yeah, I incorporated, I pulled that PR down when I did the namespace update on the site, so it looks a lot better now. If you want to look at that on your phone,
that's exactly what I'm doing. New podcast.
Let me see who apps. Did that.
Yeah, because the mobile was kind of hurting. Yeah. See, the thing is, I think we need one more. Okay, so the problem I'm seeing here, I'm just going to say it because this obviously this shows everything for the project. But if I send someone the new podcast apps, the first thing they're looking is, where's Android? And you know, there's, okay. And so first thing you see is applications using the podcast namespace for elements that are in, so yes, while true, that's not what newpodcastapps.com should portray. So while this is great for searching for pieces of functionality,
Mitch did that.
Right, but Mitch, yeah. It needs to be split up. We need to have hosts or hosting software or solutions and apps, and then it needs to be separated by Android, iOS, Linux.
Okay.
Because and we just need to, that language can be moved to the bottom. And maybe even the elements can be moved to the bottom, because what I want to see when I pop up is I want to see all these apps, and they're there, except it's interspersed with the hosting companies, and it's just confusing.
Okay, yeah, so it needs to be some rearranging that's done.
It's just rearranging. I think if we could take all the stuff at the top of the page, so the explanation and the elements, and move that down to the bottom, and then have apps. And then have the three categories, or four, if we have four. And then hosting companies, self-hosting, cool shit, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because we have cool shit, too. And by the way, I think web apps is probably its own category.
Do you think so? Like, maybe. You're talking about like PodFriend or something?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, they can be in multiple. They can be in more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned the season tag. Now, was it NPR or PBS who was interested in this? I can't remember.
NPR.
NPR. Yeah. So
yes, Stacy, we gave you what you want.
Stacy over at NPR,
make it happen.
How about having one developer, maybe over the course of 2 weeks, just create a cool little NPR podcast app? Everything's there for you, girl.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
I think it's great.
Hold on a second. Hey, Stacy, over there at NPR.
And now it's time for some hot names.
Stacy, I know you want your seasons. Let me be all quattro stagioni for you. Make your own. I don't know. Make your own app. Make an NPR app.
It comes with a pack of cigarettes.
Go podcasting! So what else do we have in phase? And what? So, phase two. When do we close?
Phase two is closed. It closed.
Yeah. When did we? I'm sorry. When did we close?
Oh, 1/31, January 31st.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So what was that? Sunday. Monday.
Yeah. And in that we have location,
person.
Person. Yeah.
Person, location, season, and episode.
And what is the episode?
Episode is just. So, you know, in the iTunes namespace, you got season and episode, and they're married together. So the idea of season, you have a season, and then episode denotes what chronological order, you know, that come the show comes in the in the season. And so we really had to have both here as well. If we're going to replicate season, we need to replicate episode as well, because it just makes sense that way. We did a little tweak on episode where you can. Have like a special number. So, okay, perfect example. Like, you know, over on No Agenda, y'all do a special episode every now and then. It was like 100.5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like the episode tag lets you do that. You can say, okay, this is a special episode, and you can give it a fractional number. You can give it a decimal number, and it'll chronologize. It's supposed to tell the app, the app that it should sort that episode between two other numbers.
Cool. Tell me PodFriend already has that working.
No, shit. Probably.
because Stacy, NPR, you could look at it, make your seasons the way you want them.
Yep. And so, and we went around about a little bit with whether or not you know, how to tweak that tag out, but it was pretty simple. And I think that it'll coexists. Those two tags, season and episode, coexist perfectly with the iTunes season stuff. So you don't lose any functionality at all by using those. by having them both in there. It mm-hmm. doesn't mess anything up or all that kind of stuff. So you can just drop those extra tags in there, and podcast apps that recognize it will should just be able to pick it up right off the bat.
Yeah. Wow, man. Yeah. We're building something big here.
I think so.
I love it.
We just got to figure out what's up with phase three now.
What do we have open still?
Well, I think, okay, here's, and people can pipe in and tell me if they are feeling the same way, but I sort of feel like it's time to tackle the alternate enclosure thing.
Yes, I'm with you.
And that seriously may be the only tag in phase three, because I have a feeling
that's going to be open. Where's value? That's still open, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that we can even focus on putting that in a phase right now, because we're not finished building it. Like, I don't even, and like we still have chicken and egg stuff happening with how to get with getting apps and all that kind of stuff. I feel right. like on gotcha. The value tag that it can remain experimental for a while until we can get some apps. Until we get I feel like for that tag, we have to have the infrastructure in place before the tag goes into the spec.
I'm with you. Well, definitely for phase three, alternate enclosure, because we have so much excitement around IPFS, but also shout out to Brian of London, talk about our equity there in the meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, we had other... blockchains represented, and I will point out, he said that there's much hotter chicks working over at Hive than on Lightning. So I thought quite misogynistic, but I loved it.
Brian, always bring knowing how to get the app developers involved.
There is such a deficit of women in not just in Podcast Index, but in the Lightning development, even though Lightning Labs itself is run by a woman.
Yeah, Lightning Labs is a very diverse.
But in the actual development arena, which I've seen, I just haven't seen many women.
No, it's a sausage fest, man.
Well, that's the thing. It's not really a sausage fest, now is it? It's not like a bunch of dudes going, "Wah."
It's like, I've got a buddy who is a philosophy who teaches philosophy at UAB here in Birmingham. And I've been reading these articles about for a couple of years now about how the student body at colleges is skewing more and more female. And so now it's like, I think the last article I read was like, it's like 65% women on the typical college campus. And so, and I asked him about that when we had dinner a few weeks ago. I was like, "Are you seeing this in your classes?" And he said, "He's like, oh yeah, totally." Hmm. He said that on a typical. So he teaches like ethics, and so that's a core class. So all of this, his classes are going to be not philosophy majors. They're going to be mostly just general student body. So it should be representative of the student body as a whole for the most part. So he said that in his classes, he said that's about right. He said it's 65 or 70% female. And he said the men in the class they're on both extreme ends of the spectrum. So he said they're either the smartest people you've ever met or they're complete idiots. He's like,
and they're all there though. That's interesting.
Yeah, but he said the women is this nice sort of like level, not level, but like this nice mix all along the range of like people who are struggling to get through the class, and then you have smart ones, and then you got people in the middle, and you got normies in there. But he said on the men's side, he's like they're either complete morons, and you don't even know how they got to college, or they're the complete other end of the spectrum, and they're the smartest people in the room. But he said, like, there's nothing in the middle. And he said, his comment was, all the dudes that would have fallen in the middle are all programmers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to college.
And it's a whole world, man. It's like I see the building. It's and just the, I'm too old to, but I can, fuck man, I can see it. You grow up with Minecraft. You grow up with all these things with gaming. You and I still had the phone attached to the wall, you know, with a long cord that got all tangled and messy and knotted up.
Yeah. The rotary.
So to see these tools and I think it was really Wall Street Bets that put me in the mindset of, oh, okay. Now I get it. And I look at their history. When I hear someone talking about the 70s the way we would talk about the 50s, because it's exactly that. It's 50 years ago.
Oh, that's don't do that.
Yeah, I have to, though, because...
Well...
Yeah, but that's... So, you know, now it's the 90s, you know, and we think of the 90s like, I don't know. You know, like, yeah, I remember that. It was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Where were you, man? I was already on the internet. And so we have just a whole different group. They've grown up. They get fucking massive respect from me for how they are determining their own future. And Bitcoin is a part of that. Maybe all cryptos are, but Bitcoin, the sovereign nature of it, that philosophy.
Yeah, that's what got me about Jack Mahler's and on the What Bitcoin Did thing is you've been talking about, about that group and how they're, how they're taking back, money and financial freedom and that kind of thing. And I'd never really heard him very much, even though me and you've communicated with him through email.
His
interviews. Smart as a whip, yes,
his
man.
Interviews blow me away. Blow me away. And he has fire. You know, he's angry. I like
that. He is highly intelligent individual.
Yeah. I like the fire. I like the anger. Like that. It's good. This is what happens in these depressive times. Some of the best art comes out. And as you know, software development in my book is science and art. Sometimes more art than science. Always more art than science, really.
Well, based on the conversation that we had on the Zoom the other day, I mean, there's a lot. That's code as art right there, man. Those guys are top. Yes.
And I wanted to remind everybody, as you're building this out, remember your value sliders or knobs or whatever you do, and remember your boost buttons. Boost buttons is the magic.
It is.
I want to say, I don't know exactly the universe that we have, and some of it is I've been boosting myself, which is, in fact, illegal in your state.
It is. Don't you spare stay out of here.
But I set up my own podcaster wallet node at Voltage. So I could, I can use ThunderHub and get real overviews of 24 hours, a day, a week, a month, a year, see what's happening. And I am up to over $2 per day.
Oh, okay.
So great. Now just think if... I mean, so for months now, I've seen I just call it our magic money machine working, which means I've seen, Satoshis come in almost every single minute of every hour of every day on the podcast index. Now, it's very small. It's, one to three Satoshis at a time, typically not more, depending on if there's a split from a boost. But my own podcaster node, because I had all that stuff going to Sphinx and then we changed it and I started to pay attention to it and started to do the stats. There's no one, almost no one is using this stuff and I'm getting $2. So when we have liftoff and apps are being used and wallets are created and sats are flowing, I go back to my model. I think we can multiply what I'm receiving now maybe by 1,000.
See, I think there should be... Okay, I think there should be a three-way thing going here. There should be for podcast apps that are implementing this right now. It feels like there should be a per time interval send, just like we've always talked about, per minute, per hour, whatever it is. Then the boost, where you can set a custom boost amount and you can boost podcasts whenever you want. And then there's a third thing where it's just like I think you can tap a button and just send a one-time like mega boost, literally a donation,
a baller boost,
Yeah. A total baller boost, A-lister, because what I had to do so on Sphinx, I was telling you, I'm addicted to the causality podcast. Mm-hmm. So on Sphinx, I had my slider pegged and I'm listening. And then, and I have my boost button set to 133 because that's my typical boost. But on that show, I was like, man, I really want to give this guy like $20 right now.
Mm-hmm. So you had to boost multiple times.
Yeah, I had to boost like 50 times to get, you know, to come close. And then I'm like, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, shit, I don't even know what am I even boosting now?
I mean, any guy, I don't know many guys who can boost 50 times in a row, Dave. I'm excited by your prowess here.
Well, there's a refractory period. Okay. I got to recover. But I'm like, I think that is the, you know, you got the boost regular, and then you got the super boost that you can just customize. And mm-hmm. Those three things cover like every ability to send money to a podcaster that I can think of.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so simple. But even,
and there's also what Dame Jennifer talked about. She posted on No Agenda Social the other day, that she was a little worried about when people send her donations mm-hmm. through PayPal, they have a note. And so she's worried that she's not going to be able to tell who sent it.
Well, here's what is so beautiful. As I was looking at the Telegram group, actually, I forgot to mention, I put it in my show notes. One of the beautiful things that came out of that meeting is all of a sudden everyone's talking and it's like, okay, we need a spec for this. We need a definition for the memo field and how we're going to do that. And everyone was like, it was like, oh shit, look at that. It's like the cats all just went together and went, okay. Figure this out. And I saw in the Telegram group, you know, there's, oh yeah, we're doing this and the structure, and it's a little, you know, it's I'm sure it's JSON. Yeah. But so it goes a little bit above me, but I can see that, like, oh man, look at this. We're creating a spec for the memo field for sending these Satoshis. I love that. I had a lot of fun with Martin. I helped him set up his node.
Okay.
And in ThunderHub, there's a chat. And so if you have a channel or if you're peered with another node, then you can chat back and forth. And to see Martin's amazement, because he said, I funded his node. You know, I'm like, dude, I'll just send you 3,333 sats. Boom. Sent him that. Yeah. So his node was funded. And then I sent him a chat and he said, hey, it just went to 3,334. I said, yeah, reply to me. Boom. Oh. So we're sending this one Satoshi back and forth with our chat message. And I think when you see that happen, all of a sudden, like, oh, the world opens up. Goes up.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, that's your distributed chat. That's your boost record. So that people can, you know, so you can not only boost someone, have a note show up for the podcaster, but also have it appear maybe in other apps. Like, oh my God, Dave just did a baller boost.
Yep.
I mean, can you imagine how cool that would be if you can have it? That's what's missing from everything. The reason why YouTube works and Clubhouse and all this other stuff is because the community comes together at the same time in the same place. In essence, what Sphinx Chat is doing, but they put the chat up front, which I think has a different experience. Whereas with a podcast app, putting that communication feature into it that'll work across app, regardless of who it is, man, they can't. Then we're unstoppable. Unstoppable. This is the number one request Mo has for me. He says, I don't know exactly what you're doing in this podcasting 2.0. He said, I'm giving you a message from the street. Yeah. And because he's a super YouTuber, he understands that whole vibe, the whole culture of YouTubing, and it's the chat, the chat, the chat, the chat. And then the next thing he said to me months ago, Clubhouse, this is the shit. And I realized what it is. It's really that everyone can participate, and that really only works if you're on the same platform / app, whatever. And then he also mentioned to me Library, and that was getting a lot of uptake. Because Library is paying content producers for the number of people that watch their content. Now, as I explained to him, okay, these are grants. These are coming from PayPal guys. They want their Library token or whatever it is to be the main mechanism for this. I recommend against it. I don't know enough about it, but whenever you have something that's a little fuzzy and there's something that's being used in the middle, maybe completely open for all I know. But
Clubhouse is doing that too, right?
Clubhouse is doing the same thing, of course. And it's going to be sad when either you're cut out of the deal or you get the deal, you start making money, and then they cut you out because you pooped the wrong way, you know? So so that is just a non-starter for me. But the overall message was, you create something like that, and there's not... I mean, think about it. YouTube couldn't compete. They couldn't compete with it.
Well, we talked about this. I talked about this with John Chidgey on the podcast.
I can't wait until this pod drops.
Maybe I'm overselling it here, but I mean, like, we talked about, I think it was towards the end of the show. It was kind of like, well, you know, I was just talking about how, what I consider to be success for this whole endeavor. And I don't think, I may not have articulated it very well, but what I've had a chance to think about it. And I think the way I would define success with the value for value stuff is that I can imagine, let's just say, let's put an arbitrary time on it. Let's just say 1 year from now. I can imagine that there are maybe 200 podcasters running their own Lightning nodes, including John Chidgey, including you, including Max Kaiser. Or,
by the way, they're onboarded. They're already receiving sats. They've got their voltage node. They are flipping out. They can't wait to promote any new app that makes this possible.
Nice. Okay, so let's just say you have 200 podcasters that each have a big Lightning node. And over, you know, at that point, what you have is a fully funded payment network for podcasting.
Yes. I mean,
and then you can start to layer on stuff on top of that, like your Sphinx chat relays, your media distribution. Even maybe the feeds themselves, or at least like IPFS. That's what
Sphinx is doing. Is they're working on, I don't know if they call it the meme, an expansion of the meme server or the media server, but they were thinking of this as well.
Yeah.
And they lead on that. I mean, the Sphinx chat stuff, I mean, it comes bundled now with the Raspi Blitz. I haven't really had time to dive into it. I figured the next time I upgrade, then I'll maybe dive into it. But this stuff is out there.
At that point, I think that once you hit critical mass point like that, I really think it's going to be important for the podcast hosts to get on board.
Yeah.
Because they are the tools that everyone uses. You know, we talked about this a couple of times recently, that the podcast, you know, the podcast hosts, it's really, I mean, yes, they provide discounted bandwidth, but the real big value of a host is in the incredibly easy tools that they have.
Yeah. The authoring. Sure.
Yeah. The authoring. And so like now, let's just say you had a few hundred Lightning nodes out there and you know, people are getting paid and all this kind of stuff's happening and it's a robust system. Well, then, as long as the hosts get on board and they build a big node, they can bring those tools to the decentralized part.
Yeah.
And everybody can have the same tools they're familiar with. And then it doesn't matter what the distribution mechanism is.
And the beautiful part about it is this world of Lightning makes everything cost something. Free is over. And even though a chat message costs one Satoshi, it cost me one Satoshi. And there's a huge psychological difference to that.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
And it really removes the whole moderation issue. I mean, it does so much goodness with all the possibilities. And once you've seen it and once you start to figure it out, what you can do with digital money, I wake up at 2:30 in the morning sometimes and I have to write it down. Like, oh, crap, look what we can do with this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Do we want to thank some people?
No, we need to thank some people. This is a very important part of our value for value model. This is the entire project runs free open source software, value for value, lots of acronyms, FOSS, V4V.
MLM.
Yes. No MLM. And the idea is we create value with what we've started here. People come on board, contribute value. We really look for three things, time, talent, and treasure. Well, we got tons of time and talent that people are contributing. I'm sure everybody wish they would have more time to contribute. And Treasure is necessary to keep the machines running. And we see a lot of people getting value out of the project who may not be able to help specifically in those ways, but they love helping out the project. And it keeps it all running. And it keeps us open and honest. No commercial money, no corporate money, no venture money, a little bit of our own money. And we just spun up the turbine and it's rolling along. And if you want to support, you can go to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a QR code if you want to send us some Lightning payment. And there's also a big red donate button to send us some cuck bucks through the PayPal.
Cuck bucks.
who said that? I think it was...
I don't know.
I think it was Marty. I think I got it from Marty. Tales from the Crypt. Cuck bucks. I love it. Yeah, cuck bucks. So who do we have to thank for this week, Dave?
Speaking of time, talent, treasure, we got Kevin Bay. He says he gave us $100.
Wow.
Yeah. And he says, gentlemen, I don't know if I'll ever develop enough talent or have enough time, so I thought I'd better throw in some treasure.
Yeah, see, that's exactly how you can help. Thank you, man. It's very much appreciated.
I think what you're doing has the potential to deplatform the major media and social media platforms should you get the payment stream to flow.
Well, welcome here.
Yeah, they can come join
the party. They can come to us.
I just want to be some small part of this effort. Go podcasting.
Yay, you are.
Go podcasting!
Thank you, Kevin. That was generous, man. Let's see. Craig O'Donnell gave us $49.99. I'm not sure what the... you're going to throw in a penny, I guess.
No. Shoot.
He says, thank you, guys. Craig O'Donnell.
Let me see. Do I have a penny? What
dig
is this?
Deep. Hey, dig what?
No, I don't have a cent, maybe. That's weird. You see, I don't have the No Agenda donation page open. But read the next one, and I'll bring it in. I'll make it. Actually, I can make it happen right now. Here we go.
You got to dig all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, I got to dig in the bottom of the pocket, and
there you go. $50.
There it is.
$50, Craig. thank you, Craig. We appreciate that. Here we go. Benjamin Bellamy.
Woo.
Castapod, again, thank you guys for what you're doing. Seeing all these person tags and location tags everywhere, this is so cool. And there are still so many things to build. Exciting times.
Aww.
What about Podcast Index version on IPFS? Have you ever thought about it? Yes,
yeah.
Yes, we have.
You better believe it. Well, if you heard today, yes, yes. Well, that's fantastic. I love it when people have similar ideas. So. Yeah.
He says, a decentralized index. Castapod is about to get connected to ActivityPub so that podcasters can take control back from closed social networks. Hey, good luck with that, Ben.
Perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to using it.
And he gave us 45.71. I'm sorry.
I dropped some more coin here. Sorry.
Okay. Lucky you, Ben. 45.70. Thank you, man. Let's see. Oh, 33.33.
Got to know that's a magic number.
And it's from our buddy Dreb Scott.
Ah.
A loyal Ponemo listener. Oh, I like Ponemo. That's good.
Ponemo. Podcasting 2.0, No Agenda, and MoFax.
Yep.
And he does the chapters for all of them.
Dreb Scott is a national treasure.
He is a national treasure. And you know what? He's also, besides the fact that he broke and found all kinds of bugs in Hypercatcher, which is what happens when you have someone using something in, you know, full-time production. But he's come up with other interesting questions. You know, he asked me the other day, hey, and this came up on podcastindex.social today. How is, you know, is it okay for me to just link these images from No Agenda Art Generator? And I said, that's a good question. I hadn't even thought about it because that's where he's getting them from.
That'll put a lot of load on that, right?
I don't
put a lot
know.
Of load on that server.
Yeah, it might. I mean, I've reached out to Paul, who runs it, and he'll let me know. And otherwise, okay. You know, that'll be another piece of authoring that has to be done to make that simple for uploads. But regardless, Dreb is as you say, is a national treasure. He is a huge contributor to Podcasting 2.0. And the way I feel is because of the constant chapters that all of my shows include, I think that influenced Cridland. I think James Cridland started to do chapters in podnews.net because, you know, I was beating his ass. And it's cool. And now when I see, you know, I smile, man, when I bring up, although I only see it briefly because I'll start playing it on Podfriend. I'm like, oh, no. And I switch over to Sphinx so that I can stream it.
So you pay it.
Yeah, of course. And any podcast that I can pay, I'm jumping on board right away.
Dreb Scott says, supporting the work. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Dreb. You are doing great work.
Let's see. Last donation. And I have a feeling that my connection is really bad right now.
No, it's okay. You're sounding good.
Okay. All right. It says, let's see. This is from Alex Campbell and it's $5. He says, thank you for your courage.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Alex, very much.
Appreciate that. And that's our good group.
Beautiful group. Handsome group. Fine people. Just beautiful people. No, don't say it, Dave.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
Just letting you know. Just letting you know where we stand.
Good week.
Fantastic week, man. Congratulations on everything that this happened so far. And you know what you were saying about success? Mm-hmm. Now I got 10 years on you, I think, in age. Yeah. But this is success. This part to me is success. I mean, we've started something, we've sparked something. It may be very different in 2 years from now. Who knows what'll be used? Who will be using it? You know, will there be a competing index? It doesn't matter. I'm excited about all of this. This to me is the success, really. Yeah. And then when I see as a podcaster, I see I get $2 a day in my wallet and I think, Wow, this is going to be game-changing for people. Game-changing.
Yeah, that's $2. That $2 represents a completely new platform that never existed before.
And it's real money.
Yeah. $2 a day. But it's brand new. I mean, it's like...
Dave, no one's using it. How many people are using it? 15, maybe 20.
Yeah.
Maybe if that. Maybe a few more, but no, it's almost nothing. And there's a lot of testing, but the boosts are real. People are boosting because they mean it.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cranking that up. So you see that coming in. I'm like, wow.
Man, it's fun. It's getting fun.
It really is. All right. So what else? Is there anything else? You have anything left for the, I know you got some other clips here. I don't know if there's an, oh, okay. We have, no, I have all these, man. I got all these.
Did we at clip
we didn't
one?
Play
did we
clip play one. That? No.
I've had that for like, I've been carrying that thing forward.
Are
for
you
like
sure we
weeks.
Didn't play this? Well, let's see.
And then look, and if we want to include the fact that Who is a Society, maybe I'll link that to the Who presses, that they are their world leaders, sold them out for Christmas cheer.
Cindy Brilliant. Lou becomes, what's the word?
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Oops, encoding issue.
She becomes Two-Face.
No.
Oh, you did that. You did that.
No. I did not do that.
You didn't do that?
No, Daniel J. Lewis did that. He sent me that clip.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, the guy's trying to think. He's like, oh, what's the word? Boom, dynamic ad.
What's interesting about the dynamic ad insertions is it's fucking everything up. And I'll give you a few examples. One, chapters. Forget it. Fucked up. Two, on more than one occasion, I have fired up a podcast that I wanted to listen to, and it would struggle to start. It would start, then it would stop, go back. Then the dynamic ad happens. Mm-hmm. They don't have their technology together yet, as far as I'm concerned. It's still iffy, depending on where it's coming from. Ad blockers. It screws a lot of things up. It's not great.
Yeah, the ad blockers are going to kill that whole thing. It's going to make it a complete nightmare.
I mean, so I'm running Graphene OS, and I got this. I was looking for a VPN type blocker, and what did I wind up getting here? I liked the guy's story, and it was on F-Droid, so I felt good about it. Personal DNS filter. And the personal DNS filter has a ton of lists, and these are all open source lists. And it's interesting to see what's blocked. And several podcast hosts are blocked. So I was having trouble starting a podcast, which I was using on PodFriend. And then I was like, how is this? Why isn't this just spinning? What's going on? And I'll see that it was blocked.
Yeah, so, I bet it's because of the ad stuff.
It could be the ad stuff. I think there's also these open lists, you know. Mm-hmm. People will report a whole podcast host, and it'll get us. Sometimes it gets through.
Huh.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's
There's your feature of ad supported podcasting right there.
I mean, how many people have showed up at the index to say, "Hey, I know how we can skip ads." Like, yeah, it's great, but
yeah, I know how we can skip them too, is by building lightning.
Yeah, exactly. We'll bring everybody over to the light side.
Yeah,
the lightning side. All right, Dave, you got any plans for the weekend?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure what we're going to do. It's going to be cold here. I don't know what it is in what they got forecast for Texas next week, but in here it's supposed to be like ice storms and stuff next week.
It was 80 degrees yesterday, and now it's 50, and it's supposed to get a lot colder. I don't think we'll hit freezing, but
Wow, it was 80? Jeez. Yeah.
Yesterday was fantastic.
Yeah, it's like summer, man.
I get so messed up. First, I don't know what day it is because I live in Thursdays, Sundays, and Fridays, and I confuse them all the time. And I really, Tina doesn't have a regular work schedule, so I don't have anything that can kind of guide me. And then, our house, which is a new house, and it's well insulated, and for the first time in my life, the temperature is completely controlled, consistent, exactly where you want it to be. And then you go outside, and you're shocked, like, what?
Like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yeah, you're like the animal, the birds and dogs and cats running around, you know, like chickens and children are playing, maples. And like, what?
Chickens.
Well, I just made it up. All right.
No, I got nothing. Okay.
Well, it's going to be another great week to look forward to. I can't wait. And as always, thank you, Dave, for your courage and all you do.
No, thank you for your courage, Adam.
And thank you to everybody out there who is working on Podcasting 2.0. Can't wait to see y'all next week. And we will right here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!